Good morning, Grace Point. I have been given this opportunity today, and I am very grateful. I am not aware of any announcements, but if you have any questions, simply ask in the comment section. Last night, I was not sideways, so I'm not sure how I can fix that on the fly this morning. And I'm hoping that you can listen to my voice rather than my picture. That's not something worth looking at anyway. I would like to open with a prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we are all stressed in this time that we are living through. We all reach out to you with our hearts and our voices every day of our lives. We lean on you, and we know that you are there for us. Help us to always look to you for comfort. Look to you to guide us through whatever may be going on in our lives. There are so many opportunities for us to fail, but with you guiding us and leading us, and you always there for us, we can survive, we can move forward, and we can get past whatever is causing the hurt in our hearts. Help us to remember you are there. Help us to remember that you have given us the path to follow. Grant that the words I may speak today may be guided by your loving light. I am a poor vessel. Help me to be able to bring the message that you wanted this morning. Not mine. Let it be yours. In Christ's holy name I pray. Amen. Well, last week, Taylor talked about the bondage of sin. He talked about how no matter how hard we try, we are always sinners. But he also pointed out the path that we can follow to try and do better. He pointed out the points that we have for hope. Today, I'm going to try to give a little bit of insight into why we are always in bondage to sin. Why we cannot seem to get past our penchant for sinning. And where I'm starting is in today's scripture lesson. The lesson for today comes from Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. And when I was preparing for this sermon, I read through several versions of this particular scripture passage. But the one that seemed to give me the most inspiration was the one from the Message. And that's the scripture passage I will be reading today. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. the spirit of life in Christ. Like a strong wind has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a faded lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And now, what the law code asked for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing. And God is not pleased at being ignored. The word of God for the people of God, and we say thanks be to God. Paul is, or the author of this particular epistle, is a strong, has a strong idea of what it is that is causing us to sin. He defines it very clearly that it is selfishness. All sin has in its basis selfishness. We can look at our own lives and see the things that we have done that we chose not to do, the things that we are encountering on a daily basis that tempt us are all things that make us want to do things for ourselves rather than things for other people. Christ's message in this is that we need to think about other people first. And he is not, it's not being said that this is something that is just good. It's saying that when we choose otherwise, we actually ignore God. The Spirit of God working within us that I talked about in the prayer is one thing that we can always count on. But it is only to be used if we let it. When we let it work through us, we think about other people. We think about the ways that we can help other people. We think about how many things on a given daily basis that we can do that give comfort to those around us. And when we choose otherwise, when we take comfort in things that give only us pleasure, we turn away from God. In the time we're living right now, there are many less opportunities to interact with people than we once had. It's a weird, weird time in that regard. We concentrate more on our own family, as we should, but when we are limited in our ability to reach out to others. There are several ways, though, that we can continue to interact with others in a way that is safe and does not endanger them. The first thing that we can always do when we find a problem, when we encounter a notice from someone in our church family that they're undergoing a particular sadness or a particular struggle, the first thing we can do is pray. Prayer is a method that allows us to show we care deeply, as we are transmitting our message to God, and God can transmit that message to the others. The important part of prayer in this regard is that it always allows us to think about the troubles that are going on in that person's life. We can remember them. We can remember how they interacted with us. And we can know that that's the best way that they can, that God will know the best way that they can be comforted. We don't have to trust our own poor skills at comforting or coming up with the right words. We know that God always comes up with the right words, and he will always provide the right level of comfort. The next way that we can do it is to look for opportunities to help others. There are so many things that happen in our daily lives that we often ignore the opportunities to help. I was driving on Southside a week or so ago, heading up 20th Street, and I think all of you that are familiar with Birmingham are aware of how busy 20th Street, particularly in the Five Point South area, is. I was waiting at a traffic light for a car in front of me to turn, and coming in the other direction, a car stopped in the middle of the intersection, and a young man in that car got out of the car and moved to help a person in a wheelchair get across the street. The traffic was not going very fast, so all he did was block the traffic so that the person could get through. But he took an opportunity that was presented to him to help someone in need. And we do that in our own church in opportunity. For example, Patty and John Moon have been single-handedly providing all the legwork for the food pantry these past few months. They are reaching out to the community through the name of our church in order to help people that are more in need now than they ever have been. People who have sources of food taken from them because of what's going on in their lives. what's going on in our world right now. There are two ladies that are recipients from the food pantry on a monthly basis who are also recipients of daily food at the Mount Olive Community Center. One of the other ways that our church outreaches is in the Mount Olive Community Center daily food program. Every day, we bring a hot meal to people through a drive-up option. They drive by and we take it out to them, of course, wearing our mask, but it provides them an opportunity to get a safe, hot meal on a daily basis without having to shop for it and without having to go among more people, such as even going to a takeout restaurant. Again, this is a ministry that our church supports and works with the county to provide these meals. So in these two opportunities, we have shown that we can choose to not be selfish. We can choose to not allow the spirit of selfishness to rule our lives. We can choose to not allow the spirit of selfishness to turn us away from God. When we embrace the spirit of Christ, the spirit of love that he showed in the community when he was living, the fact that he reached out to the least of that community, the fact that he made an effort to make sure that the hungry were fed, that the sick were healed, and mostly that those who were hurting in their hearts were comforted. Christ was the embodiment of love. Christ always reached out in a way that was unusual for his time. We need to embrace that spirit of Christ. There are so many people in this world that feel unloved, that go through a daily life alone and lonely, dragging on without any comfort that they can see. And the church as a whole can't find these people. But each of us as individuals know of people who fit this category. We can reach out to them in the spirit of God's love. We can reach out to them in a way that lets them know that they are also loved. Sometimes the best way to engage such a person is simply to talk to them. People need to have people talk to them. The ladies that I was telling you about from both the food pantry and from my center, when we take the food out to the car, it's about a 5-minute process simply because she wants to tell us everything that's going on in her lives. She and her sister live by themselves and they only have each other to talk to. And she and all of our other participants really take advantage of the opportunity to talk. And we listen. And we add a word of comfort if necessary. For the most part, we mostly just listen because that's what they want to do. They want somebody needs to know, they want to know that somebody cares about them. And that's something that we're able to do in a very simple way. And each of y'all out there can find equally good ways to find ways to interact with others. You know the people that are out there that are needing love. You know the people that are being isolated by this plague that we're living through. Reach out to them. They need you. That's a way of showing love that this particular passage is talking about. That is a way to negate the selfishness in your heart and reach out to others so that you move from a path away from God to a path that is closer to God. This was one of the most challenging opportunities for preaching that I have come across. It is very challenging for me to stare at this particular pink dot on on my tablecloth that allows me to at least look in the right direction. It's a very challenging thing. It brings out opportunities, but it brings out all sorts of things. Because I'm used to interacting with the people in front of me. I know y'all are out there, but I can't see you. So I appreciate the opportunity. And hopefully if I'm given the opportunity again, I will be a little bit more comfortable with this particular way of doing things. But again, I deeply appreciate the opportunity to attempt this new challenge. And I thank all of my Grace Point friends and family that are out there listening to this. Y'all are very deeply embedded in my heart. And I feel for you in this time that we're going through. Now I'm going to close with a prayer.